I trust you had a blessed Christmas yesterday. And while I may be a few days early, let me wish you all a happy new year and the Lord's very best for 2022. So trust the year will be better than this past year has been in some ways. So now, as we come to our message today, I have a Christmas-related question for you. Do you know who the first people were who saw God's only begotten Son, the baby Jesus? First of all, of course, Joseph and Mary would have seen him. Secondly, if you read the account in Luke chapter 2, you would have known that the shepherds were the next ones to see him. They saw, as the Bible says, the babe lying in a manger. But who came next? It was interesting, as I prepared this message, I was talking to somebody recently and posed that same question to them. And that person replied what I think many people would reply. The next ones to see the Lord Jesus, baby Jesus, would be the wise man. But actually, this is incorrect. It was not the wise man. And I give three reasons why it was not the wise man. First of all, in the account in Luke, the term baby or babe is used. You see this in Luke chapter 2. They saw the babe lying in a manger. And again, we see that in verse 7 as well as verse 16. But when you read the account of the wise man in Matthew chapter 2, the term young child is used. And there are actually two different Greek words that are being used here. So the wise man came to see the young child. Joseph and Mary saw the babe. The shepherd saw the baby lying in a manger. A second reason why I say it could not have been the wise man is that in Luke's account, Jesus was lying in a manger. But if you go to Matthew 2, the account of the wise man, you see that he was in a house. So there was a different location there, a different setting. And then thirdly, the fact that King Herod had all boys killed who were 2 years old and under would indicate that Jesus was a little bit older at this time. So it could not have been really the wise man. But who then saw Jesus after the shepherds saw him? And I think some of that becomes clear as we remember again our responsive reading this morning. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 21, we're told that when Jesus was 8 days old, he was circumcised according to the law of Moses. So the persons involved in the circumcision saw him. Now we don't know who they were, but we do know that he was circumcised. And then, when Jesus was 40 days old, and we also saw that in our responsive reading, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple to present him to the Lord. Now, in that account there of Jesus being brought to the temple to present him to the Lord, two people who saw Jesus are mentioned by name. The first one of these is Simeon, and the second one is a lady called Anna. So these two we know saw Jesus, and that was before the wise man saw him. Now I would like to concentrate on Simeon. Now, Simeon actually was a true believer in a spiritually dark time. You know, as you read the account here, the spiritual situation, the spiritual condition in the Holy Land was at a very low level when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. The faith of Abraham was spoiled by the teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And when I say teachings, I mean the man-made rules that they had introduced. So the Pharisees actually had added to the Word of God. The Bible says this, but we say this plus that. So they added to the Word of God. But in Deuteronomy 4:2, we're clearly told, ye shall not add unto the word which I, God, command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. So we are never to add to the word of God. And that was the problem with the Pharisees. They thought they knew everything. They thought they knew even more than the law of Moses. And they added the word of God. But it was not only the Pharisees. The problem was also with the Sadducees. The Sadducees, among other things, believed there was no life after death. And of course, the Bible makes it very clear that there is a life after death. You know, if you go, for instance, to the life of King David, when his baby boy died, he said, he cannot come back to me, but I can go and see him. So he was confident that he would see the baby again in life after death. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So, a well-known passage there in John chapter 14. But it's very sad that it was a spiritually very dark time. And yet, in the midst of this, there was a man, and we're told that he was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, that word just means upright or righteous. That same word is used in Luke 23:47. Which is an account of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read here in Luke 23:47, now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, certainly he was a righteous man. And then we're told about Simeon, that he was just, he was devout, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the consolation of Israel is a reference to the Messiah. In other words, he was waiting for the Messiah to come. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would see the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would see the Messiah before he died. But it's sad when we consider the poor spiritual condition in Israel at that time. But you know, you look at Australia today, the spiritual condition in Australia is also at a very low level. You know, the letter S is used generally to indicate the interest of the Australians today. Sun, surf, sand, and then there's one that is often added to that, suds. And by suds, of course, it's meant beer. But that's what the Australian, the typical Australian, is more interested in than in spiritual things. They'll consider how many more people go to the beach on Sunday with their esky rather than going to the house of God. Yet, God has always preserved himself a faithful remnant, a remnant of faithful believers. You know, if you look at the Old Testament, in the time of the Babylonian captivity, we might consider Daniel in Babylon. He was told he couldn't pray, but he prayed as his custom was. And he was thrown into the den of lions. But God kept him and preserved him. We might also mention Jeremiah in the court of Zedekiah. We might consider Elijah. Elijah, in his great confrontation with the prophets of Baal, and how he was threatened, going to kill you. And he thought he was the only believer left. But God said, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal. So we see the faithfulness of God in preserving that remnant. In the New Testament, we might mention Simeon, as we see him here in Jerusalem. And today, if you look at churches, you know, some churches emphasize climate change rather than Christ's cross and the salvation that comes only through him. Maybe you have seen, like I have seen, the signs outside some churches. You know, we need to do something about climate change by 2030. But is the gospel preached? No, it is not. Very sad. And so to see the spiritual condition being very poor as a whole in Australia. But thank God for churches where the word of God is faithfully preached, like this church, Hope Church, Providence. We thank God that his word is faithfully proclaimed in these churches. And so we see, first of all, that Simeon was a man who was a true believer in a spiritually very dark time. But not only was Simeon a true believer, he was not afraid to die. Many people today fear death. They worry about it. They fear the unknown. They may have doubts about going to heaven. But not Simeon. We read, Lord, now lettest thou my servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon speaks like one for whom the grave has lost its terrors. He expresses a desire to go home to heaven. He is willing, and I'm using here the words of the Apostle Paul, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He speaks as one who knows where he is going when he departs this life. And he is ready to go there. Not afraid to die. You know, every day that we live is one day closer to death. Are you afraid to die? Let me ask it this way. What enabled Simeon to be so confident? What can deliver us from the fear of death? And there's a one-word reply to that question. The answer is faith. Not just faith in anything or anyone, but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. He shed his precious blood on Calvary's cross, and he rose again from the dead. Now, somebody might ask, what is faith? Faith is just believing what God says he will do. Or in an acrostic, as it has been put, with the first letters spelling the word faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. Or slight variation, forsaking all, I take him to be my Savior and Lord of my life. You know, Simeon looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. We can look back and we know that he has come. It is his birth that we celebrated yesterday. And I ask you, do you have faith like Simeon? Incidentally, the key is who you have faith in, rather than how much faith you have. Think a moment of a chair. It's not so much what you think of the chair, but how strong the chair is. I remember, it's now many years ago, probably about 30 years or so ago, maybe more, probably more than 30 years ago. I was in a travel agency here in Adelaide, asking questions about traveling to Singapore to go there to speak at Bible camp. And the person there said, have a seat. And I sat down. And as I sat down, the chair collapsed. And I fell on the floor. I'm not sure who was more embarrassed, the guy from the travel agency or me. But it was a rather strange experience. I had faith in the chair. That it was a misplaced faith. Be sure your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We are to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see Simeon. He was not afraid of death, because he knew that once he died, he would be present with the Lord. Now, we should note thirdly that Simeon had a good understanding of scriptural truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. We see that in verses 30 to 35. He says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." You know, Simeon spoke of Jesus as the salvation which God had prepared, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people. So, God had prepared salvation through Jesus. And the name Jesus means Jehovah, or the Lord, is salvation. Not only did he speak of the salvation which God had prepared, he spoke of Jesus in verse 32, a light to light the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Jesus was a light in the dark world. We might note the following verses, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Our memory verse was Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. But in verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And the light has shined upon them. And then in John chapter 8, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, talking about the new heavenly Jerusalem, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb, with a capital L, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lamb is the light thereof. He is the light of the world. Jesus was a light in the dark world. And Jesus was also the glory of Israel. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel, verse 32. But our loving God promised the Messiah's coming way back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, a verse known as the first gospel. And here God says, and I will put enmity between thee, and the thee here is actually Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed, Satan, and her seed, the seed of the woman. That is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it, the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall bruise thy head, and thou, Satan, shall bruise his heel. A reference to the death of Christ on Calvary's cross. What's the difference? One is a wound to the heel. Not so dangerous. But the other one, it's a head wound. Very dangerous. But that is what Christ did. He rose again from the dead. And that was a death blow to Satan. Christ is victorious. So God promised the Messiah. Way back, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And then also, God made a promise to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, when he said, God said, I will bless them that bless thee, Abraham, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. How does that work? In thee all families of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham, it is one of your descendants who will be the Messiah. There are many countries in the world today, but out of Israel was born the Savior of the world. So Simeon spoke of Jesus as a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And then in verse 34, Simeon spoke of Jesus as one who would bring deliverance, but also division and anguish. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. So the Lord Jesus Christ was set for the fall of many in Israel. He was a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to the proud and self-righteous Jews. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 we read, For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. So the Lord Jesus Christ was sent for the fall of many in Israel. But the Lord Jesus Christ was also sent for the rising again of many in Israel. Many who at one time opposed him, afterwards repented and believed. And I think one of the obvious examples would be the Apostle Paul. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying," says Paul, "and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now that's an interesting note there. Earlier in his life, Paul calls himself less than the least of the saints. But now when we come to the end of his life, he says, "I am the chief of sinners. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ must show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." That's Paul. He opposed the Lord Jesus Christ, but he got saved. He got right with God. And so he started following Christ and served him faithfully. But the Lord Jesus Christ is also to be a sign which shall be spoken against. From the very first, thousands have been persecutors of Christians. And thousands, yea, millions, have been unbelievers. But you know, note the words in John chapter 1 about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Thank God for that. Thank God for Simeon and his life. There was a man by the name of William Emanuel Booth Cliburn. He was the grandson of William and Catherine Booth, the founders of the Salvation Army. William Emanuel Booth Cliburn was born in Switzerland in 1893. He died in 1969 in the USA. He has written a hymn that some of you may be familiar with. It's entitled, "Down from His Glory." Down from his glory, ever-living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger, to his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. What condescension, bringing us redemption, that in the dead of night, not one faint hope in sight, God, gracious, tender, laid aside his splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul. Without reluctance, flesh and blood his substance, he took the form of man, revealed the hidden plan. Oh, glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary. And now I know thou art the great I am. And then the chorus, oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all. The great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in him. Beautiful hymn, and words well to remember. And now, what do we think of the Lord Jesus Christ? We know what Simeon thought about the Lord Jesus Christ, but what about us? Are we for him or are we against him? Do we love him or do we neglect him? Do we stumble at his teachings or do we find his teachings life from the dead? Yea, eternal life through faith in him. The Apostle John writes, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Praise the Lord that he is the Savior of the world. But is he your Savior? Have you let him into your heart? There is a saying in the form of an acrostic, again, thinking of the first letters there, that something would be well for us to remember. Jesus exactly suits us sinners. Will you come to him today? Don't put it off. Tomorrow never comes. It's my prayer that you will not leave this church today, or as you're sitting at home watching, that you will not leave your house till you consider that. But be sure you have the same faith as Simeon. Be a true believer in a spiritually dark time. Do not be afraid to die, to be absent from the body. For the believer is to be present with the Lord. And study the Word of God so that, like Simeon, you have a good understanding of scriptural truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Simeon saw the Lord Jesus physically. We can see him with the eye of faith now. And face to face when we go to heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for Simeon, a man who was a true believer in a spiritually dark time, a man not afraid to die, and a man who had a good understanding of scriptural truths about the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may we consider his life. May we also be true believers in this spiritually dark time in Australia. May we not be afraid to die, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven waiting for us, because we have truly trusted him as Savior and Lord of our lives. And Father, help us to study thy word so that we, like Simeon, may have a good understanding of what the Bible teaches about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And then, Father, we know that one day we shall see thee face to face. Father, we praise thee and thank thee for this and look forward to seeing our Savior, whose birth we remembered yesterday. For we ask it in His name. Amen.